flying at speed with a bunch of villainous-looking men. They'd kidnapped me and my younger brother, Pete. Two other planes had dropped from the sky to sit dead on our wingtips. They were threatening to shoot us down if the pilot wouldn't land. He wouldn't.
That is my final warning. I am now counting down from 10 and fire on 0. 10, 9, 8,
can't
7,
fire.
6, 5, 4,
I can't.
3, 2, 1,
I can't.
0.
But they did. Jamie screamed for me as well. But she wasn't with us. They hadn't kidnapped her. So how could she know what was happening to us?
Mike! Save me! Save me!
Oh my God! In the noise and turmoil, I looked to the pilot and saw an amazing thing. He's smiling! The pilot's smiling! I woke up to escape the crash and was bathed in sweat and knew something was wrong. Something was dreadfully wrong. I looked at the clock. It was late. Dad should have woken me by now, but it wasn't that. Then I had it. For the first time ever, there was no smell of cooking floating up from the kitchen. Our mum always cooked breakfast. Always.
Mum? Dad, have you seen the time? We're going to be late for school. Mum? Dad? Nobody. Where's the kitchen? Oh, I don't believe it. They've both slept in. Mum? Dad? Wake up. We're all going to be late for school. You both slept in. Mum? Dad?
Their bedroom was empty. The bed hadn't been slept in. I knew I had to wake Janie, see if she knew what was going on. But she's so foul in the morning, I thought I'd wake Peter and get him to do it. Come on, Pete, wake up. I want to talk to you.
Leave me alone. Don't want to wake up. I'm having a great dream. Helicopters. In the garden.
I hope they crashed like my plane did. Wake up! Oh, wake up! I need to talk to you!
Pack it up, Walter. Mum, you're bullying me again.
You can't tell her anything. She's gone. Same with Dad. They're not here.
What?
They've gone.
Gone where?
That's what I want to find out. Any ideas?
There was a helicopter in the garden last night. Early this morning. Far corner.
There was no helicopter. That was a dream, right? Be sensible now. Did Mum and Dad say anything to you about going out early?
No. Peter will know where they are.
Great thinking. Why didn't I think of that?
Go wake her up and ask her.
No. I'll let you do it as it was your idea.
You've got to be joking. Be safe for waking a tiger up. One touch on her shoulder, she'd have my arm off up to the elbow.
5P,
you're on.
Whee!
Pete has a weakness for money. It can be useful sometimes.
Mike and Pete always say I'm foul in the morning. And it's a lie. They just don't know the proper way to wake a young woman up, that's all. Kids just don't understand women.
Janie, wake up! You've got to wake up!
Go away, you nasty little wretch. Now leave me alone.
Don't hide under the pillow. You've got to wake up! I won't pay me if you don't.
Go away, you odiferous, money-grubbing little slug.
No, you've got to wake up, Janie. We've lost Mum and Dad. They're missing.
What?
They're missing.
Is this true?
Looks that way. They're not in the kitchen. My bed hasn't been slept in.
But they wouldn't just go off without telling us.
Did they tell you?
No.
Me neither. Ditto Pete. So if they have gone off, they've gone off without telling us.
Where to?
Who knows?
Hey, you.
Me?
Yes, stop messing with my stuff and go and get dressed for school.
You can't ask me that. You're not my mum.
I'm the eldest. Go.
If
Stripey and I'll go quietly.
Nothing. Go!
It's all wrong!
Go!
Yeah, I'd better get ready too. This new headmaster of ours is a bit freaky about timekeeping.
Hang on till he's got to his room, Mike. I want to chat.
Okay.
Mike and I are pretty close for brother and sister. Could be because he saved my life once, when we were kids. Really crazy thing. One holiday I was diving in a pond, got snagged up with the weed underwater. Said he'd heard me screaming inside his head. Told Dad. They both dived in and saved me. I guess that sort of thing makes you close. But I did tell him if he started mind-reading properly, I'd slaughter him. Still, I didn't need to be a mind-reader to see he was really worried. So I decided to let him think I wasn't fussed. Where do you reckon they could have gone?
I've really got no idea. It's weird. I mean, it's never happened before, has it?
No, not that I can recall.
Oh, this has come at the end of a really bad nightmare. I'm starting to think it could be continuing.
Ow, what did you do that for?
Just checking for you. You can't feel pinches in nightmares, can you?
Oh, good thinking.
Anyway, chances are it's something very ordinary. Took an early morning drive and got a flat tire or something.
You're probably right. Come on, let's make tracks. By the time I've dressed them up, they'll be back full of apologies.
You're on. First one there gets to cook breakfast.
Oh, you have no chance.
What is that?
Get off! Get off! This
bathing ball's hard and the ace doesn't fly too much as well.
Look, stop going on about it, will you? You must be the one who had the last of the bacon. You've had it. Bacon and eggs fried you wanted, that's what you've got, so stop complaining.
I didn't want them done all hard, now did I?
Just finish it, okay?
Man should be here to do it properly.
Oh, come on, Pete, eat up and stop beefing. We're going to be late.
But where are they?
Probably took a stroll and got caught up in something.
Yeah, nothing to worry about.
Not down on the zebra crossing, all right?
Don't even think it, okay?
Or ring somebody. Find out what's going on.
Like who?
I don't know, like anybody. There must be somebody we can ring. Tell them we need help.
We don't need help. We'll get along fine. I'll be back in no time.
I'll be dead of food poisoning by then.
I can use your walking breakfast. I'm away from the car.
Oh, he has got a point, you know.
How do you mean?
Tell we've got nobody to ring, Janie. Why have we got no family?
I don't know.
Weird. Other kids could ring up. Grands, granddads, uncles, aunts, cousins, nephews, all sorts of people. But we've got no one. We're on the move to a new house every few months, so we haven't even got any friends we can ring. There's no one, Janie. You, Pete, me, Mum, Dad, and that's it. And now they're gone, we're on our own.
Where are you off to?
I'm going to call the police, report them missing.
No!
Why not? Why not, Janie?
I don't know. But I do know it would be a bad idea. It could be dangerous.
Dangerous? Why would it be dangerous to call the police?
I don't know, Mike. I really don't know. But let's just leave it for now, okay? They'll soon be back, I'm sure.
Okay.
Do either of you two have a driving license?
No.
Elder mothers and sisters are really useless. I'll wait out front. Be quick or I'm going to be late.
I hadn't thought of that. No mum to drive. How are we going to get there?
Bus. Walking, more like. Friday. I haven't got a bean. You?
Not enough to get us there and back.
So that's decided then. Best foot forward.
Pizza hoarder. He'll have some money.
He won't lend you it.
You'll have to.
Or walk all the way as well.
Well, I think you're a mean pig, right?
I'm said to be careful with my money, right? You not give it away to just any Tom, Dick or Janie.
You didn't loan me it.
Lending money to people is a guaranteed way to make enemies.
How come?
He always hates paying it back. Anyway, it's my money, not yours, and I'd rather be late than waste it on buses.
It's not you who's going to be late, it's us. We've still got another 10 minutes to go after we've dropped you off.
Well, I didn't ask you to come now, did I?
You know we've got to come. You're too young to go by yourself.
But why both of you? Do I really need stereophonic bodyguards?
I've got some stuff in me. A room full of young kids who insisted on going to school by themselves.
Ha ha, very funny.
Okay, let's cut the chat. Nearly there. We'll come back here for you this evening, so don't set off home without us, okay?
Mum and Dad will be back by then, won't they?
Yes, bound to be. Look, Pete, it's probably best not to mention to anyone that they've sort of gone missing.
Why not?
Well, I don't know, but it's probably just as well.
I do know. We're all under 16. They're not going to let the three of us stay at home by ourselves. They'd say we're too young. Probably take us into care.
What do you mean? If they found we couldn't cook breakfast properly and things like that?
Something like that, yes.
They'd have a point then, wouldn't they?
Yes, very funny. Tomorrow you cook. Come on, Janie, we're going to be really late.
Okay, see you, Pete.
You will come back, won't you?
Yes, we'll come back.
Done.
You wanted to see me, sir?
Oh.
Yes. As you see, your sister arrived first. You feel free to sit beside her. When I allowed you both to start at this school some 3 weeks back, I made a point of stressing one of our maxims very clearly. Can you recall what that maxim was, Miss Gavier?
The importance of punctuality, sir?
Quite. The paramount importance of punctuality, to be precise. Can you recall the why of it, Master Yeager?
What of it, sir?
The why of it. Why good timekeeping is so important. Do you recall the reason?
Something about time once gone never being able to be recaptured, sir.
Good. And how no excuse in the world, no matter how brilliant, imaginative, inventive, could return school time once lost to us. But I then went on to say that we in this establishment have discovered how to redress the balance. So sweet in its simplicity is the answer, so unarguably fair, that I have heard children cheer with joy when discovering how we do it. And how do we do it? We simply add the time that has been lost in the morning to the end of any given day. Truly brilliant. You both recall my saying that?
Yes, sir.
Marvellous. I would hate to think that you hadn't got the gist of such an important message. It was reported to me by your respective teachers that you both arrived 20 minutes late this morning. Is that true?
Yes, sir.
Good. Well, not good you were late, but good that the facts have been adequately and correctly reported to me. School time lost 20 minutes. So, would you kindly join me here once again at the end of your last session, and you will then stay a mere 20 minutes. School time gained. The books shall then be balanced, and you will hear no more about it.
I'm afraid we can't do that, sir.
What?
Well, not this evening. At least there's not both of us.
We've got to collect our younger brother from the infant school, sir.
But your mother collects him. I've often seen him, already in the car when she's caught here to collect the pair of you.
Oh, it's not possible for her to do that today, sir. She's indisposed. In fact, that's how we were late this morning.
No. No excuse is required or helpful. The fact is, you were both late. School time is lost, and you must both now make recompense. You'll join me here at the end of the day. Your brother can patiently await your arrival at the other end. Your parents can also wait for the three of you to return to your home. Thereby, the whole family shall be taught a very useful lesson about the importance of punctuality.
We can't do it, Mike. If Mum and Dad haven't arrived back and are not there waiting at the school for him, and we don't turn up either, the poor kid's going to freak.
I know. Don't worry. I'll bunk off a bit early and get him. Meet you at home after your detention.
No. Why should you be the one to get the fireworks come Monday?
I think the fireworks are going to be tonight, and only one of us turns up in his office for detention.
You could be right at that. We finally decided to bunk off together. It seemed about the fairest thing to do, really. It was a no-win situation, whatever we did. But come Monday, we reckon Mum and Dad will be back to sort it out. Amazing how wrong you can be when you try to guess the future, isn't it?
So, having decided to make the break together, we picked a spot on the back wall that we thought was both pretty much out of view and climbable. The only trouble was, the spot we picked was overlooked by a room called the upper lounge, which was where the headmaster took his afternoon tea.
Yeah. You there! I see you both. You're the Yago children.
Oh, no, it can't be going really bad.
Is this the thanks I get for taking you both in off the streets and into my beautiful school? Running away like thieves in the night. Good day. From a just retribution for the flagrant loss of time which you both wickedly asked to cultivate this morning. Come back here!
No.
I want word! You hear me?
I bet either Mum or Dad are waiting outside the school for me.
Oh, that would be great! Mind you, I think they deserve a phone telling off for giving him such a fright.
What about us?
Well, we're bigger. Much easier for us to handle that sort of thing.
Speak for yourself. I've been scared witless about them all day. I just hope they're waiting.
They will be. Tell you what, race into the corner. We can see the front gate from there.
You're on.
They'd know we'd collect him as well. They'd know. Most likely they're waiting at home for us.
Yes, I'm sure you're right. It would be silly all of us coming to get him.
Come on, everyone. I want to get home.
What are we going to do if neither of them come back, Mike?
Double tea and think about it. Probably decide to get supper.
There's not a lot of food left.
Usually by Friday. Shopping day tomorrow.
And no money to shop.
So? They'll be back then, haven't they?
Here comes trouble.
The teacher in tow. Wonder what that's about.
Soon find out.
You're here to collect Peter, are you?
That's right.
I was rather hoping to see his mother or father.
So was I.
Is there a problem? Well, Peter wasn't too happy today. In fact, he spent rather a lot of time crying, but he wouldn't tell us what was the matter.
I wasn't crying, miss, not properly. I feel just a bit leaky today, that's all.
I understand that, Peter. But it's always best to let parents know when there's a difficulty. Do you think you could perhaps pass the message on and say I'd like to talk to your mother on Monday?
We will, yes. Come on, Pete. Bye. So, what's the waterworks about?
Shouldn't have said that this morning.
Shouldn't have said what this morning?
But them being knocked over on a zebra crossing.
Oh, we all say things. It doesn't mean anything.
I've been thinking about it all day. Shouldn't have said it.
We'll forget it. It's just not on. If it was true, the police would have got the address out of their wallet and been round in a flash.
Yeah, but all for that.
Okay, fella, best foot forward. We'll be home in less than half an hour.
Here's the master with this, get it? I see you both happy now. That's my last 50p gone on stupid bus affairs.
It was you who wanted to get home fast, not me. I'd have happily walked.
Why not? Don't you care whether Mum and Dad are there or not?
I care, all right. Don't be saying that to me or you'll end up with a punching.
Well, pick up doing your own size for a chain bully.
Pick it up and care of you.
Mum and Dad are back, they didn't see a right home fighting. And if they're not back, we've got to work out what we're going to do. Just pack it up.
Jane's right. I'm sorry, Pete. I'll make sure you get the 50p back. Okay?
Okay.
I'll stop coming up.
Give me the key, Jenny. I'm on ahead. Mom? Dad? Mom? Dad?
I've got to be honest. When I found they still weren't there, still hadn't arrived back, I could have had a quick weep myself. But I could see that Janie was being so brave and so comforting to Pete that I just had to hang on and fight them and not let go.
Hey, come on, fella. It'll all be sorted out in the end. Of course it will.
Funny thing about baby brothers. They're really creatures from another planet.
Brothers about your own age are different. It's sort of easy to work them out. They're just as stupid and thick as any other boy of that age. But young brothers, they're just aliens. Until you see that they are hurting, that is. That's the way it was with Pete. When we came in, we realized Mum and Dad weren't back. Pete was just sitting at the kitchen table, his head resting on his hands, and he was sobbing his little heart out. There was only one thing to do. He needed a mummy sort of cuddle, and I sat down beside him and gave him one. And suddenly Mike was there as well, one arm around Pete and one arm around me, and the three of us just rocked together, and we all cried.
How about spoons for pudding?
Yeah, okay, we'll open a tin of peaches or something.
Out of this?
No, looks good. Beans are done, chips nearly ready. I tell you what, let's have the tomato ketchup on the table.
A little dish, you mean?
No, the whole bottle full.
Oh, Mum comes in, she'll freak.
If she comes in, we'll all be freaking more than she is, so let's make the most of it. Big bottle of ketchup out.
Yup. Where do you reckon they could be, Janie?
I don't know. It's going round and round inside. But I'm not coming up with any answers.
Me neither. Okay, that's the table set. Are you ready for me to call his lordship?
Yes. By the time you've got him in and sat, it'll be serve-up time.
Great. Rob's up.
Just finished putting the wing on this plane.
Now, if we don't go straight in, Janie said she'll...
What?
Nothing. Go through. Get your key.
It is believed to have been a dense wall of fog sweeping across the motorway that caused the first of the accidents. Police believe it will finally prove to be the largest and most costly multi-vehicle pile-up in the history of the country.
Are you two coming to eat?
Just on my way.
It's on the table. Get stuck in.
Great.
Where was that?
Motorway. About 5 miles this side of the city. What time? Just after dawn.
Reports are coming in of a breakthrough that may finally halt the fighting in the Taraguadi capital.
That's what all the ambulances and police cars must have been about this morning.
I imagine so, yes.
Oh, Mike.
Look, don't go putting two and two together and getting seven. It's just coincidence, that's all.
Come on, you two, I'm starving.
I said to start.
What's the point in starting when I can't get the top of the smartest horse?
Oh, good point. We'll come and help. We'll ring round the hospital when he's in bed. Okay?
Okay.
Massoud, who recently came to power after the assassination of his father.
You haven't heard that much from me yet. Ask anybody who's got an older brother and sister, and they'll all tell you it's a waste of time trying to get a word in. They also think that we young ones are all either really sick or like some creature from outer space. But either way, really bad news must be kept from us. I mean, you should have seen the way that Mike and then Janie freaked about the motorway crash on telly. Then, when they saw me watching, they both tried to cover up and pretend it was nothing. Really pathetic. The Muppets could have acted it better. I had to leave the room quick so I wouldn't burst out laughing. Anyway, I finally told them.
You what? I said don't worry, they weren't killed in that motorway business.
I wasn't even thinking such a thing with you, Mike.
No! Never crossed my mind!
Oh, fine. Well, if you're not worried, that's great. Don't reveal, by the way, Janie. Couldn't give Mike the odd lesson, could you?
As a matter of interest, how do you know?
No.
That they couldn't have been killed?
It's all right, forget it. I thought you might be worried.
Tell us!
Both of the cars are still in the garage.
You mean they didn't drive where they went?
Janie, for a girl, that's almost brilliant.
Watch it, glib gob.
But if they'd been, well, something crazy, like being kidnapped, say, and being driven off by someone else.
They may have been kidnapped, and they weren't driven away. They went by helicopter.
I told you, that was a dream, right?
If you don't believe me, go down the garden and see whether the tracks in the mud in the far corner could have been made by anything else but a helicopter, right?
Pete was right. There was no question about it. At some point, a helicopter had landed in the garden. Marks like that couldn't have been made by anything else. But the question was, had
Mum and Dad deliberately bought a house with a garden big enough for one to land in? And if so, why?
That's a really stupid idea.
I've told you, you don't talk to me like that, okay?
Will you both stop niggling at each other?
Can that be?
I'll go check.
No. Look out the window first.
It's a woman copper.
I'll go let her in.
No.
Why not?
I don't know. I only know we mustn't. Let's just wait. She'll go away eventually.
She's putting something into the letterbox.
She's going. I'll go and see what it is. Addressed to Mr. or Mrs. Yeager.
Open it.
You shouldn't. It's for Mum and Dad.
Just for the moment, we count as Mum and Dad, right?
Open it, Mike. Police notepaper plus address. Please call at the station at your earliest convenience. Signed by the inspector. So, what does that mean?
Good news. As far as the police are concerned, they're still both alive.
Can't be good if they come back and end up in prison.
At least we'd know where they were then.
Oh!
I went to bed without making a fuss when Jamie told me to, even though it was a bit early. They were being so nice in trying to hide their worry from me, that when I discovered a really worrying thing, I didn't tell them. There was a car opposite our front gate. It had been there when we arrived back from school, and it was still there when I went to bed. I could see it from my bedroom window. Inside the car, there was a man, not very old. He had binoculars, and he was obviously there to keep the house under observation, and us.
I couldn't sleep. I was just going round and round. Where could they have gone, and why? If they had to go, couldn't they at least have found the time to leave a note? Was it crazy thinking they may have been kidnapped? Well, at least it beat thinking they might be dead. They couldn't be dead. They just couldn't. I'd got too many things still to say to them. Soppy things like, we haven't mentioned it, but you do know we all love you, don't you? Silly stuff like that. Anyway, I couldn't sleep for a long time, but when I finally did, I wished I hadn't. This time, it wasn't a nightmare. It was too real for a nightmare. This was really happening. Jamie was coming down hundreds of marble steps, heading for a long hallway and a massive wooden door at the end. Not England. Somewhere very hot, abroad. She had to reach the door by a certain time and was really rushing to get there. I was frightened she was going to stumble and come crashing down the stairs, but she didn't. She made the hallway, ran to the door, and waited there. Finally, a knock came. She opened the door. Her face dropped. It was the wrong person. And then, the person jumped through the doorway at her. It was a man, an evil-looking man. His eyes were blazing with hate, and he was fighting to get a firm hold on Jamie. She fought back, screaming and kicking, but it was no good. Finally, he had both her hands held in one of his. It freed him to pull something from his waistband. I saw it glint in the light. It was a dagger, a curved dagger, and he was trying to get it to Jamie's throat. She got her hands free and grappled with him again, but she had no chance. Again, she screamed in my head, but this time, I knew I could do nothing to save her.
Help! He's going to kill me!
In Wally K. Daly's Orphans in Waiting, Judy Bennett was Mike, Abigail Doherty, Janie, and Simon Radford, Peter. Peter Jeffrey played the headmaster, and other parts were by Timothy Carlton, Joanna Myers, and Andrew Wincott. The producer was Dan Garrett.